Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? You know what that is. That's Chuck D. That's Chuck D and the fellas, Fear of a Black Planet. So I'm K's son. This is K's son and friends. I'm K's son, Citizen Payne, Eric Citizen Payne. This is a Wednesday, so if you're listening to us now, you caught us live on one of our on our live night. Usually we like to do things on a Wednesday. If we're doing live episodes, new episodes on a Wednesday, but you know, that's the most consistent version. But you know, we like to add more than one episode per week if we can, as the news hits and we just have to talk about the situations. Man, only about I forget however many more days to go, ladies and gentlemen, until we get rid of the squatter in the White House, the, I don't know, the plague bringer, the bringer of plague, virus spreader in chief. No, just a whiny little you-know-what in chief, if you ask me. A lot of people are surprised at a lot of behavior. I hear people asking a lot of the same questions that they've been asking for the 4 years. And it's always, to me, it's always been a very simple bottom line that this guy's a criminal mentality, thuggish mentality, you know, the same cat that everybody in New York knew who he is. You might forget because he's popular for a minute, like I did, actually, talking about back in the day. Like I said, you've heard me say before, I used to be a fan of The Apprentice. Cool. But that was around the time I had forgotten that Donald Trump, you know, wrote the scathing letter about the exonerated five, and never knew about his racist past with his father discriminating against black people back in the day. So, the part about forgetting, you know, a media figure, a reality figure, you know, you can kind of get caught up if you don't know who they really are, thinking they're decent people. You know, that used to be the issue back in the day, finding out individuals like Elvis said derogatory things about black people and other celebrities from back then, but obviously you wouldn't know or wouldn't be as easy for you to know back in those days as it is now with social media. But so what I'm saying is, you know, I kind of even liked him, as I said before on our broadcast. Didn't think he was a racist until he actually proved it to me over these past 4 years. But just the level of despicable behavior. Not surprised at the thuggish nature, at the kind of coup-ish nature. We've talked about that before on this program. I've talked about, you know, it being a race, seeing how many of his people he can put in place before, you know, the actual, honest, true American patriots are in place. You know, like I said, you know, it's the whole gangster mentality, owning all the key pieces that would have to be needed in a conspiracy, you know, criminal conspiracy, political conspiracy, whatever. And he damn sure was trying to put those pieces in place. And as you can see now, but just the level of just sleazy, just the worst type of disgusting, mean-spirited, nasty, vindictive, hateful type of person that this guy has turned out to be at every step of the way, when someone would think that someone would have some dignity to do the right thing or just to be decent, just to, you know, it sometimes doesn't cost nothing just to be a respectful person, just to be kind of, a decent person to somebody. You know, the whole thing about not welcoming the Bidens to the White House before the inauguration, not wanting to be there during the inauguration and having his own inauguration because he going to run for president again. I'm not even going to jump into that whole aspect without the fellas getting on because that's too juicy. But all of this shit is on my mind, but let me bring the fellas in. I got Byron on the other line, the legendary historian, Byron Saunders. What's up, Byron? How you doing this evening?
Eric, my brother, down here in the cesspool, as I, you know it, that I call Washington, D.C., where I live. But today is Wednesday, December the 2nd, 2020. Here's the phrase of the days: mask it or the casket. It's your choice, life or death. It's as simple as that. You
repeat
know
that
13,864,537,000 people infected in this country. 13 million, and by the end of this week, it'll be 14 million. Now, Eric, we just want to deal with facts and truth, correct? Because, I mean, we have to make sure people understand the ramifications of the numbers alone. I mean, we can talk about all the craziness that's going on because it is crazy time. Yes, it is. But the numbers keep adding up, and they're not very pretty because at 13 million people, we got today 273,912 people dead. And that's anticipated to be 300,000 by the end of the month. We're only on the second day of December. But here's, and then, of course, there's the unemployment number, which is basically around 69 million people. Because just 2 days ago, I don't know if you got this story, they discovered that the labor statistics at the end of each week were undercounted by a lot. So they've been lying to us about that. And I knew they were lying to us. So there's no way you can have the recession that this country is in, no jobs being given, and then they can't even get unemployment benefits on a timely basis in the states that really need them. So, I mean, we're not just in a pandemic of a virus, but here's where it's even more damaging, Eric, because you know our storyline is mostly for African Americans and people of color. 18% of those numbers that I just gave you of what those numbers are as of December 20th by CDC standards, 18% of that, the national numbers of dead and infected and unemployed directly impacts African-American community, 18%, and I'm sure that's modest. So what does that mean, Eric? That means of the dead, of the 273,000 people dead, 49,304 of those people are people from the African-American community. That's almost 50,000 people. Infected, out of the 13 million, almost 14 million people infected in our African-American community, we've got over 2 million, almost 2.5 million people infected in our African-American community. And then you come around to the unemployment number. Out of the 69 million people unemployed, 18% of that number brings us to 12,420,000 unemployed African-Americans. Now, you tell me, and you got a pandemic of a virus, and yes, we're going to have the first rollout of the sustained, vaccines that are about to come out. And the major question is that just by the sheer numbers alone, Eric, they're not even close to being ready to 350 million people in America who are supposed to be the ones getting vaccinated. And the most that they can tell us by the time it's May of 2021 is about 25 million people.
Yeah, it's going to be a long process to even get up to, you know, to get even to get close to back being to get close to being back to normal. And just even the whole vaccine process, but you know, and that was held
so
up because your boy.
Yeah. The numbers.
You said the numbers. Go ahead.
And by the way, the here's what's more. Even getting back to why the numbers are so staggering, because we even if they do compromise in the bill, We already know what the deal is. Mitch McConnell says, okay, I can give you $980 billion right now, even though you want $3 trillion. But I'll give you under $1 trillion. And if y'all win the Senate, then all bets are off because y'all can come in and take as much as you want. Now, that's the kind of chicken game politics that are going on in the Senate. And let's be very clear about the notion of the trade-off, because they sold us out. The GOP, forget Trump. The GOP are the ones who are now guilty of crimes of treason. Let's
right.
point the fingers where the fingers need to be pointed. Trump is
That's
out
right.
of the way. We voted his ass out of office. So I ain't worried about him. He's going to get locked up anyway. But I'm talking about these people in the Senate and McConnell and Lindsey Graham and the GOP in the House, the Tea Party. They're the ones who are being really the fingers being pointed at back at them, who are consistently committing acts of treason, sedition, and anarchy. And they need to be brought down. I'm talking about
yeah.
brought down hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, because I've heard the argument being floated, you know, on a lot of the shows and things like that, that the GOP allowed this guy to do that. You know, that this is still going to be the same GOP. They're going to have to deal with this in the aftermath, and that this being their party, and the question being floated by some talking heads, like, how did this many people, you know, Trump's got this many people that are following him, and how do so many people get to that? Their shock in that there's so many people that agree with this guy, and my response is that's a misnomer. That argument that there's shocking that so many Americans agree with him, that they've poisoned the well of or causing distrust in our democracy and our election system. That shouldn't be the shock. I mean, African Americans have had a distrust in this system for a long time. The shock or the realization, the realization should come in the shock that we're still a very much a racist society, that not much has changed that much from Jim Crow era and slavery and all that. A lot has changed, but they've just been a little bit more undercover, been a lot more undercover. They went totally covert with it. Ronald Reagan ushered in that era for this type, their type of racism, that overt shit, the George Wallace shit, that 60s shit, the civil rights era shit. They went underground with that shit, right? And so that's been underground until now, until this guy brought it up. And the whole notion that, you know, people talking about the crazy thing is the damage that Donald Trump has done to our system, the distrust in our system. The system has always been fucked up. There's always been a system of white supremacy. This thing that we need to be talking about is that, damn, there's still America is still a very racist country, and these people are just waiting to come out for it. And I also, like I said before, I'm tired of hearing about, well, so many people are with him. So many people have been with that notion for hundreds of years, so it's nothing new. That's to me, that's how they deflect the argument. The thing is that we have 80 million people that are down with Joe and the concept of moving forward and being progressive. So the fact that they're saying, well, he's still got a lot of people, they've always had a lot of people believing that in the United States. That's why we had slaves, because it used to be the majority of motherfuckers in the United States believed that black people were subhuman. That's why we were in slavery for 400 years and then didn't have rights for another couple hundred years. So it ain't nothing new. The whole fact that they're making a big deal out of, like, all these people, yeah, motherfuckers, yeah. That's where we've come from. It used to be all you motherfuckers. They ain't. Now, haven't anybody seen, doesn't anybody remember the pictures when the Klan marched in D.C. back in the day? There was thousands of them walking down Constitution Avenue. You know that picture I'm talking about, Byron. So, I mean, this is what I'm seeing. I'm hearing them kind of deflect the argument and make it something else. And maybe, you know, if you were kind of, because some of them, you know, on some of the shows, they were down with the Republican Party. They were down with, you know, used to be down with some of the grassroots things that were laid in place when the racism was a little bit more undercover, you know, covert. They were down with Ronald Reagan. And we know the people have heard the recent tape about Reagan talking about black people in a derogatory sense. I didn't need to hear the tape. I already knew that he was a racist motherfucker, but okay. You know, but this is, the lie has been told for 400 years. So it shouldn't be no surprise that 74 million motherfuckers, you know, there's still a large percentage of people that think like that. It's always been that way. The thing is that they're still around and they're down to make a power move. And the real things to be paying attention to is that this Republican Party, this modern day Republican Party, is nothing but George Wallace's or somebody's Republican Party of back in those days, because they were willing to bring the whole shit to its knees if they couldn't get their way. Right? That's what they, that's what called motherfuckers when the Civil War jumped off, because a faction of the country was willing to bring the whole country to its knees if they couldn't get their way. So we'll have civil war. That's what a lot of these militia members are talking about. That's what this dude is talking about in Staten Island. His bar or whatever is an autonomous zone, so he didn't have to listen to the mayor or whatever. You know, notwithstanding, everybody understands the issues of survival and economics and having businesses, but, you know, all these people who, that want to put the cart before the horse and jump out there and start doing shit before, when the health, it doesn't make sense. You know, so, I mean, you know, a lot of the arguments that they're putting forth, to, and they, as they talk about, we need to find ways to bring all of these disgruntled Trump voters who used to be Obama voters, which I think still is bullshit, bring them back into the fold or whatever. I hope they, you know, can come back around. I saw one of the senators, Democratic senator, the other day talking about hoping that the Republicans in the Senate will work to accept this bipartisan project. Why are we always hoping that these people are going to do the right thing? They've already shown that they're not going to do the right thing. They've already shown that they're not interested in doing the right thing. They've already shown that they're not interested in living in peace with people. So to me, you do the same thing that you do with terrorists, criminals, racists, and people who commit violence. You put some in jail, you put them on notice, you don't try to, like, reach out to them and make them feel like, okay, we want to reach out to you Americans, too. Yeah, we can reach out to some of them, but some of them are down with criminal activity and fucking oppression and a minority rule, the majority type of vibe, and basically seeing black people be reverted back to second-class citizens. So we ain't going back to there. So the hell we're trying to make them feel included again and reach out to them and have them become back a part into the fold. Some of the motherfuckers need to go to jail. They committed crimes. That's what we do with people like that. You know,
well, I think
certain media heads are trying to.
Yeah. Well, see, the fundamental part about democracy that it has to have a rules and regulations, a what we call a constitution, and laws. Laws that are applied equitably and equally across the board. And if you're going to have fissures like we have now in the rule of law and the Constitution, fissures, like little tears, disruptions in the fabric of the Constitution. Fissures. FIZZURES. They're trying to rip the very foundation of the Constitution into shreds and then replace it with some other stupidity. But basically, problem is that the law and order cannot be restored or even respect for it until we have the current charlatans and grifters walking the streets. They and America must be shown that no one is above the law. He can go ahead and pardon all he wants to. It doesn't bother me at all. Let him pardon his full self right on into jail, which is where he's going to end up being. And if you remove him and remove his capability of even thinking about running, because he'll be guilty of federal crimes like pardon, campaign
right.
That's ongoing in the investigation.
Right.
So, I mean, he's broken so many federal laws. You commit him to and convict him of just one, and he can't even run for anything. That's how you cut his legs out immediately. You're going to have to bring Bill Barr into the well of Congress, totally strip him down in front of the view of the public. Until we change the symbol of justice being justice for all, and this is a simple way. It costs you nothing to bring these people down. But if you really want to waste your money and time, whether we're going to have the next campaign of cops shooting another black person, you see, it's back to the symbol again. Because until you convict these crooks that we got right now, there's going to be some lawlessness because there is no respect for the law. The law has to start with the top, not top down, not bottom up. and you lock him up. Lock Trump up, lock Barr up, lock Pompeo up, lock Pence up, lock McConnell up, lock Lindsey Graham up. They all committed treason. So let's stop playing games with this, guys. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I see Wayne is calling in here. Let's get him in, jump in before I want to make a comment. But
come
let's get him
on,
in.
Wayne.
Hey, Wayne Gilman, the legendary name.
Hey, greetings, greetings. I don't know what planet I was on, but forgive my tardiness again, but I'm here. And I have to concur 1,000% with Byron and anyone else of a similar mindset. I'm certain you feel the same way, Eric, that, you know, all this false running around, you know, starting all sorts of feelings of anarchy and disruption that Trump is trying to bring about by confusing the 73 million Americans that supported his candidacy for re-election. You know, it's just nonsense. You know, it's his way of generating income to basically finance his next adventure. And it's been no secret, but he's got more to worry about than trying to, you know, correct something that's already been validated short of the Electoral College giving in. You know, he should be going every night to bed thinking about what Letitia James has in store for him when he gets back to New York, you know? I mean, really, if all the nonsense that he's doing and the wild speculation, the fact that he is already conducting, you know, quietly, at least it's been revealed, coming up with a list of people to pardon, and half of it are members of his family. That says a lot. I mean, just the fact that he's seeking pardons for these people is indicative of all the nonsense he's done in the last 4 years. But what disturbs me is that there's still a lot of folk out there that buy into basically what he's trying to do. And I just think he's causing more division, and at some point, as I heard some elected official out of Georgia say the other day, that it will eventually cost lives if they just don't, you know, get it together and just quiet them down. I think the longer he stays there, you know, even if he's waiting for certification to happen, it's the more vulnerable this country is.
Well, the certification is not going to happen. No, the votes have been certified. I think Georgia's already certified in Arizona. That was the whole thing why he went off on the Republican governors of both of those states, you know, in a Twitter attack. So they've already been certified, and they both responded to him saying basically they'll do their job, and, you know, he basically wanted Kemp to overturn the election, which, you know, he said on Twitter he doesn't have the authority to do. And the other guy said the same thing, the governor of Arizona, a lengthy nine part response to Trump's Twitter attack, which he basically said, you know, sworn to uphold the law. That's what I'm going to do. And this was a guy supposedly a serious Trump supporter. Bragged about having changing the ring code from the White House, from the president to Hail to the Chief, talking about how close he was. I don't know if you guys saw that news clip, but he talked about how close they were. Changed the ringtone to Hail to the Chief. And just the other day, Trump was calling him, and he dissed the phone call as he was signing the certification for Arizona for the election. Yeah. So, you know, and Trump's flipping out on them, and even Bill Barr, right? You know, Bill Barr is saying, you know, he can't find anything. And basically, you know what happens when you committing crime, you got people that, you know, you didn't talk to about potentially committing a crime and being down with you, just like any kind of criminal organization, or a lot of times, and some that don't have any people of integrity in, when it starts getting hot, people start stepping away from you. You know, so he keeps turning to different sources to see if they could down with him. And, you know, they're like, nope, you said this wasn't going to mean no jail time. I can't be down with you. I mean, that's basically what's happening, right? I mean,
exactly.
You talk about Brian Kemp.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian Kemp, he stole his election, so he knows how to do it. It ain't like he doesn't know how to do it. You know, I mean, and you know, the other guy, like I said, he bragged about having the president on his ringtone and stuff, even Barr. But, you know, when it comes time to it, when they got to go in court and claim whether they're claiming fraud or whether they're just talking outside the courthouse, them cats is all stepping away from him, you know. And
yeah,
his whole personality of attacking everybody that doesn't agree or kiss his ass or do whatever he says, clearly coming back to bite him in the ass, except for the masses. I was going to say the rabble, but the masses, and I guess I could refer to them as rabble, that are willing to believe anything this guy says. You know, the Daughters of the Republic, you know, this guy is basically trying to change history, right, by lying about history, by making history up, which is what they've been doing in this country from day one. So to us black people, it's nothing new, right, because they've made up the whole narrative, the slavery narrative. But to watch them make up this narrative for all of these willing idiots, obviously, that are following him, that the election was stolen, is really interesting. But it's, like I said, it's nothing new. I was going to say the Daughters of the Republic that created the narrative of the Confederacy and just rebranded that, made sure it went down in history books and things like that and textbooks, and they rewrote the history. Obviously, I mean, we should know that's their expertise. They've been doing that since they came to these shores, rewriting the history and making up a narrative about themselves, you know? So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. People are, I mean, I hear some of these hosts of these shows are talking about, you know, but he does have a lot of people that voted. Yeah, he does. There's always been a lot of racists in this country.
Exactly.
That's why we've been dealing with everything for so long, because there's so many of y'all that are willing to stand by and allow these other assholes to perpetuate this. And also, too, it's the status quo, right? White supremacist system is the status quo. Anything that questions and upsets the status quo, even the people who might not even willingly know that they're living within the status quo are going to be pissed off. I just was like realizing, okay, that's why even some of these white people who live and thrive within this white supremacist system might not be white supremacists, but when you get somebody that's coming along talking about the system is fucked up, they're going to be against that person too, because you're messing with their daily run-of-the-mill life, their routine. Because in their lives, it's all good for the most part, right? They don't usually have to ride around the streets, you know, worrying about if the cops are going to mess with them or just insane injustice being committed upon them, like you know, unbelievable shit. You know, going in people's houses, arresting them, and mistaking people, and just all kind of manner of insanity and brutality. They don't have to deal with that reality, that having been a reality in their existence. You know?
Well, something's got to give, man, because, you know, I have not, I mean, we've all witnessed and lived through a certain amount of divisiveness. But we're at a point now where, you know, the polarization is so intense, and a lot of it is fed by the media. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today about, you know, some of the advertising that was done, particularly in Florida, when Bloomberg spent a ton of money just trying to convince the electorate there, you know, who should they vote for. And yet you still have people who are like dyed in the blue that they're, and I'm not using even blue as a reference to party affiliation, but they're just, you know, dedicated to a certain mindset regardless of what is in front of you. I mean, you see people who are dying, and yet it's supposed to be a myth. You see the racial injustice, and yet, you know, they're favoring, you know, things that have gone on for years because they're afraid of change. And, you know, it just goes on and on. But I really am saddened that not enough is being said and done. And every operation has a right to espouse their own beliefs. But when you see what people like Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Lou Dobbs, all these talking heads on that particular channel who are just promoting, even with the facts, even with the news department, their news department basically saying, well, hey, this is the case, but yet they're still out there carrying water for this man. It doesn't help the agenda. It just continues to
that is their
pour
agenda.
Gasoline on the fire.
That is their agenda. That's the whole thing about
yeah,
it.
You're right. That's their agenda. So regardless of what goes on, December 14th can come. The Electoral College can make an official, you know, pronouncement that, you know, this man is in. Doesn't mean anything. In their mind, the freaking votes were still stolen, and this is how, you know. Never mind voter suppression. Never mind all these other things that have come up along the way. You know, it is what it is, and they're carrying on, carrying this torch that 4 years from now, this guy's going to resurrect politically in spite of all the crap that's before him. The fact that you have to actually pardon members of your family, it just seems not to sink in the heads of these people who are, you know, loyal supporters, you know? And it's everything that you said just now, Eric.
Unless there's a certain what they believe in. They believe that's right for them. So that means the rules are the rules until we don't feel like they need to be the rules. We want them to be the rules no more. So they're cool with all the hypocrisy of Trump. They're cool with, you know, him being down with racists and supremacists because that's who they are. That's what I'm saying. This shit is working out the way it's supposed to be worked out, just the way they planned it. And the resistance is when it doesn't work out. That's when they're down to get in the streets and talk about shooting people, intimidating people. And when you get to even their own GOP, other Republicans, white people or whatever, and their own party that are really Americans and patriots and doing the right thing for at least in that instance. Because, you know, they let it slide up until this point until it got really ridiculous. And they were down with everything until this point, apparently, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're willing to. I mean,
one
you know,
thing,
we,
one thing is certain.
We co-
one thing is
go ahead,
certain. All of us are old enough to remember COINTELPRO. The whole concept was to cut off with a snake, and the snake will die. And I go back to it's not because COINTELPRO is borrowed from, you know, the art of war. But once again, cutting off the head of the snake. This you can eliminate about, I'd say, 70% of the BS that's right there, that's the supporters, the base, because without the leader, there's no place to go.
Yeah.
They don't have anybody else to lead them. It's a very plain, simple strategy of war. And basically, the Democratic Party, and as well as the GOP, but with the help of the GOP, on behalf of the Democratic Party, they have backed themselves up into a corner that strategically they are no longer even considered to be the power party in power. And even if they do hold on to the Senate, there will be ways in which they will be facing more and more of their own censorship because of the laws that they have broken. And the system will eventually get fixed. So do you want to fix it now? And erase some of the ongoing, what I call, gnats in the air, because you can slap these gnats and slap them and put a little rain on them, and they'll be gone forever. Because all this pardon crap, you know, I'm using the metaphor that most people will understand, okay? Because totally the crap that's going on right now with the pardons, right now there's even an investigation by the Justice Department into the pardon scheme. For pardons.
Mm-hmm.
So if ultimately the conversation swings back, and I said this about, y'all may remember my conversation. I said about 5 months ago, wait till the end, there'll be even more reasons to do another impeachment just to get him removed technically. See, the Republicans don't know what to do about the removal and distancing themselves. So they'll do stupid things like now publicly, you know, trying to distance themselves. But look what's happening in Georgia. Like you said, Wayne, they got the old Republican Party fighting each other, fighting the president. Why? Because he's telling them, don't even come out to vote, and they're trying to hold on to the power.
Thank you.
So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's two criminals, two Republican criminals, more grifters, more who took advantage, and they're under criminal investigation. So why is their name even on the ballot?
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope, you know, I'm praying for a miracle, man. You know, I still believe that one day Santa Claus.
I hope it's a clean sweep. Wayne, come on now, Wayne. Here, work with me on this. The miracle has already happened. Did we not just turn the reddest state blue?
Yeah.
Come on. So
yeah, that's bullshit, though. We still need to win it, bro. I hear what you say. I'm down with Wayne at this
journey.
One. We did,
so
it ain't over until
the
round of play. We need to win that.
January,
and when they walk in, when they got seats at the inauguration on the 20th, that's when it's over. We didn't win it yet.
Yeah.
We won the battle.
You got to talk it in, because I'll tell you what, they didn't believe that they could elect Stacey Abrams, and they were how many votes short? They didn't believe that they could take the state blue, and they took it by how many votes? 14,000 votes.
Yeah, right. So we got to, but we got to continue.
Come on
to,
now.
We're almost done.
Come
we ain't
on.
Done
the
yet.
The votes are there.
Well, we're almost done.
I,
we ain't
I,
done yet.
Thing. We
that's
have to
played
tell,
out
to
the, we're
we
not doing.
Yes. We got to tell the people. Tell the people. Don't wait till the 15th to celebrate
that's
Martin Luther King's birthday. You celebrate it on January 5th and vote. Vote
that's
for
right.
Warnock. Vote for Ossoff. Then you can celebrate the entire month, straight on into Black History Month, straight on into Women's Month, straight on to, because I'm telling you, you can take the victory right now.
Yeah, we sure
it's
could.
It's there.
You know,
it's on the table.
Getting to that pardon vibe, you know, I've come to the realization, too, that just the notion that when somebody's even talking pardon, you know, just that, just the fact, when that becomes a subject matter, that's a problem. You know, that's a problem to begin with. The fact that once you start talking pardons, it's like, what? Why are we even talking pardons with the president? That's when we're in really bad territory, much less if you got a president that is talking about the concept of pardoning people and his family or whatever. Yeah, we're in really deep shit. But if you got a president who can do that, okay, you can pardon those people. But when you get a dude and there's any way in the system of government or life or community that you live in where a cat can sit in judgment of himself and absolve himself of all wrongs and everything else, then we are living in the wrong friggin' system.
Yeah, you're right.
That's all. I mean, it's as simple as that. You mean to tell me that nobody thought about that a president could friggin' pardon himself? We didn't think about that. We didn't put in all these checks and balances that y'all been doing and writing, and Alexander Hamilton wrote 137,000 of the Federalist Papers and all this other bullshit, and we didn't think about all of that? That's what I'm talking about. They wrote something down, but they meant something else. It was in between the lines when where the real power lies. The suckers are the ones that actually read the lines and say, oh, yeah, we got to do exactly that. The people with the power, the real power that have been shaping this country, have been reading between the lines and say, yeah, I'm going to do this right here. The hell with what they're talking about, you know? Because what sense, how ludicrous is that? This guy, you mean, actually, this guy actually can have the possibility to pardon himself, really? And he actually said it out loud.
No,
I absolutely have the right to pardon,
really,
but I won't need it.
He really does not have the authority to do such. And let's say, logically, if he wants to pardon himself, then he has to first admit to being guilty of something. If
right.
You can't
that's what
pardon,
a pardon is.
Then
well,
it's not guilty. Okay? So for him to even admit his guilt, because that's fine, let him do it. Let him go with that notion. I just admitted guilt, but I pardoned myself. Well, Trisha James.
So then New York, the state jurisdiction says
a new pair of gray striped suits, not the orange, because I think the gray ones that put you in the federal penitentiary. So it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, he's going to jail. But you can take him down now, or you can wait to take him down after the 20th. I say, why wait? Because you can get 2-for-1 right now. You can take him out and Mitch McConnell at the same time.
Yeah, well, he's already doing enough damage, man. You know, I fear there may be war before.
Is the damage going to be any more than the damage that's already been done? Gentlemen, we're at the precipice of losing
democracy. He's trying to do some more damage before he gets out the door. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
You know that. I mean, you know they're trying to pull the wall sockets out. They punching holes in the wall and the plaster over there.
Oh, yeah.
You know they a bad tenant, Wayne. They fucking up the property.
You're absolutely right. You know, I'm dealing with that. There ain't enough Stanley steamers to clean that place out, you know.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what's going on with this guy. I mean, they're trying to, I mean, you know, just the fact that that they have access or have had access to all of the intelligence that they have had access to for the last 4 years. They're talking about that being an issue and having to be concerned that this dude is going to have access to security briefings. Because we know that he's going to go in and to go into business for himself right after he leaves the White House. He has to.
Like I say, you strip him down, you won't have no problems later on. Just to take him out to the Area 51, nobody will find him. Guaranteed. Don't take him to Guantanamo Bay. That's too easy. That's 90 miles away. I want him in Area 51 where nobody will find his ass.
Out of space.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we need to be concerned. Go ahead, Wayne. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying that, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, it has gotten to the point these days that we're faced with right now are far more deadlier with regard to – I'm not saying that the Biden camp would not have, you know, a certain amount of control, but he's still in power. You know, he's still in the people's house, and anything is possible. You know, and that's it. I mean, and I think constitutionally speaking, they're going to have to alter, make an exception in his case. That's why there really should be some documentation about his mental facility. There should be some psychiatrist, some psychologist who could deem him the very things that his own niece has been published for saying about his character. That would make an exception that he should not be allowed to be given or be privy to certain things as a retired president that other retired presidents since the beginning of time have enjoyed some of the privileges. You want to keep Secret Service until his days are over? That's one thing, you know? I'm not espousing someone's death, but clearly he is so divisive, you know, he's so diabolical. He doesn't give a damn about people who are dying in the streets now. I forgot what the body count is as far as COVID is concerned. But it just shows, it exemplifies what he's all about. It's about him.
Right.
He's a narcissist of the highest order, and people like that are scary.
Yeah, I mean, people that are supporting him, ones that have
been considered. The 25th Amendment has been considered, but here's the power problem with the 25th Amendment. 25th Amendment, by order of the chain of command, would go from president to vice president to Speaker of the House. That would bypass the power of the Senate right now. McConnell knows this. This is why he's playing the sit-on-the-fence game and playing like Chicken Little. But also, they can't even engage Pence to take over because Pence's name is on some of the indictments of the federal offenses. So the GOP are going to play, I'm going to do everything I can to protect my self-interest. Remember, this is not about protecting Trump anymore. He's gone. He is toast.
Right.
This is about protecting their own hot seat.
Yeah, everybody's watching their own ass now. That's why Barr did what he did.
That's right.
That's why those governors
Trump
did what they did. Everybody's
Trump
watching their own ass
done.
Now.
Yeah, but pay attention to what's going on with the Senate and the reason why they're pouring millions of dollars into Georgia, because they know if they lose that, it's gone.
It's
over.
It's all over.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
we're
going to try and play this four-corner defense like Duke used to play. Y'all remember ACC basketball? We're going to play keep away. We're going to keep you away from the prize until it's time for us to go. And maybe by the time for us to go, we'll wear you all out. Because the end game they're playing is definitely has an end game. And it's not pretty to their own good purposes. Even if he won one case in the Supreme Court, the end game is that by January 20th and by December 14th, the day of the Electoral College, it's over. End game. Toast out. Church out. Benediction
given. Right.
And he still isn't going to concede. That's what I'm saying. Get his monkey behind
out of
there now.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. He doesn't have to concede. His whole game. Listen, the closest he came to saying any concession speech based on his mental sickness is that he was ashamed of himself for supporting Kemp in Georgia. Now that's as close as you've ever heard. Fourteen hundred plus days that the first thing that's ever come out of his mouth that wasn't a lie, where he admitted his own guilt. And that was tenuous because he says, I was ashamed of myself. You know, that's like bullshit, really? Thank you so very much. You know, but your shame has gone way past the meter for shame, because you have gone and done dangerous things to humanity in our country, and the country you were supposed to protect. That's why I gave you those numbers at the top of the show. You cannot walk away from the fact that by the end of this week, you'll have 14 million people infected. Today is Wednesday, gentlemen.
That's why you can't ignore it anymore. That's why those people are walking away from him. You can't ignore him anymore. You know, you can't ignore those numbers, particularly when his red states are going through the peaks that they're going through right now. You know,
if you want the 25th Amendment, it's all there. There it is. It's right in front of you. You don't need a psychotherapist to let you know that this MF is sick.
Yeah, but they're not going to use the 25th Amendment.
But the thing is, I don't know. Again, you know, Biden has the right formula about turning down the heat to a certain extent. But somehow, there's got to be some effort on the part of the blue to reach over to the red and just basically show them that, you know, we have to peacefully coexist. The Republican Party has to take the onus now. It is their burden to rebuild themselves. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
See, my question is, why would you put the burden on the Republican Party? They failed it. They can't do
nothing but the burden of the unnecessary tension, Byron, all this talk of warfare, I mean, it's real. I mean, we were relieved. I know that you all felt a sense of relief once the final vote came in on November 3rd, or even 5 days after that, when it was pretty clear that Biden and Harris had won. But the bottom line is, it's this gray area right now, and that there is still tension out there, spewed and elevated by the so-called commander-in-chief. And, you know, he's not going to stop. But
Hold on, B. Let him get out. Byron, let him get out. Go ahead, Wayne.
He's not going to stop with his rhetoric. He's not going to stop with his tweets. But there's got to be somebody in that damn party who see the damage that he is doing to the country. And I feel that there's got to be some effort, even if they're just Democrats reaching over and trying to show the folly of their ways in a peaceful way, to just keep the rhetoric down. And this is the thing that bothers me about Sean Hannity, the Tucker Carlsons, the Lou Dobbs, the you know, all those folks over there who espouse a certain belief about a so-called deep state theory, you know? And it's despicable. And it could lead to bloodshed before the 20th of January, you know? And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that party is in such deep doo-doo. I don't know what it's going to take to reform them, but I think as more and more are coming out, you know, I don't even consider it admirable what Bill Barr did, you know, because he's done enough damage just being, you know, his personal lawyer. But the fact of the matter is, you're right, everybody's CYA at this point, and if they're not with the program, they're going to figure out a way in which they can get themselves cleared. But they have to rebuild, but there's got to be some moral, ethical standard that, you know, that goes back. But again, looking at the history, and I know you've been saying this so eloquently, Eric, though every time we talk, we have to look at the history of what this country's been through, you know, what has gotten us to this point. And I don't know. The technology is real, real swift these days. You know, we had a civil war where we were out there combating one another, but, you know, it is so sophisticated. It doesn't have to be the same way to annihilate, blow ourselves to smithereens without, coming to
right.
our senses about what's going
well,
on.
Go ahead, Byron, because I wanted to respond to what you said, but you wanted to respond. Go ahead.
As I was saying, the optics of a democracy is based in its guidelines for order. And we have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights, we have law and order, and we need to restore rule of law because it's running rampant. They break the rules and break the law based on just because of who they are. No, justice and equality. Now, see, the ideals of democracy actually are very good, but when you allow it to be perverted as they have been, and that's part of the problem, because I'll tell you, as a person who's gone through military school, and anybody who's been in the military, chain of command is important. And if you're going to call him commander-in-chief, even the commander-in-chief has a chain of command that is respected. And if the commander-in-chief is not capable by any way of mental instability, physical inability, the rules already have been established that they can remove him, and they will. So you have to have faith in that system. But if you continue to try and let the party that has created the chaos try to fix their own party, I'm not interested in trying to fix the GOP. To me, the nation is more important. So they can go to hell in a boat fast. I don't care. I'm sorry for them, but they put themselves in their own position. Now the nation is at risk. We got 14 million people who have been infected, 260,000 people by the end of the year, 69 million people unemployed. Gentlemen, no care about chair of the Republican Party, whether it's her or him. He said, she said, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, their brand is dead. Democracy is based in now the vote, and the people must take charge. We are the people.
Yeah, to me, I'm in agreement with you, Byron. I'm also under the impression or belief, Wayne, that you talk about turning down the heat and the temperature, but also you can't forget that somebody tried to destroy the whole system. They tried to blow the whole shit up, to me, from
exactly.
where I see it. I would never be trusting enough to allow them to be in that position again. What's happening to me that I see the Republican Party, that Trumpism is killing the Republican Party. It's going to be Trumpism, and then I guess Republicans will somehow get their way back, and then they'll probably come together again when they want to beat us. But, you know, if they want to be – because if they continue on down the road of being Trumpists, they might as well go back down to the road of being the White Citizens Council and all that stuff. And I think that probably is, knowing him, I think that they'll try to appeal to that. I think they'll try to appeal to an even more extreme nationalist vibe. White people, you know, have America, you know, make America great again. That was that whole thing, a little bit undercover, not really. But I think that I don't think he's going to run again because he was just trying to raise his brand. But I think that his brand is going to be white nationalism. And I think they're going to go even further with it. And I don't think it's incumbent on the Democrats to reach out and to make them. We always do that shit. You know, I think what we do is follow the law and order, like Byron said. We're not going to vindictively prosecute you like your boy was trying to do everybody. That's what Joe said. You know, he's not going to use the attorney general as his own personal attorney. But the law should be carried out, and they should be held accountable for the crimes that they did and the things that they tried to do against the United States. And it's clear that they broke some laws, and they're trying to find some gray area with some people that they're cool with, you know, and the ones who can get away and not be directly tied. That's why all these people are, you know, not, you know, they're breaking away from Trump, disagree with him as much as they can, I guess, depending on what area of the country they represent, from a perspective of how much of a hold he has on their individual districts. But still, when I hear that, it's always like the Democrats are soft. We need to turn down. We don't need to do shit other than prove them to be wrong like we proved them to be and govern in a righteous way that like we always have. But the one thing we do not need to forget, like we always do, is that they tried to take us out, not like we were the United States. Like they was the South and we was the North. You know, they ain't playing them games like we're all united and we're all the same countrymen. Yeah, we're in the same country, motherfucker, but we're in different tribes. And this is what we want, and if we can get roughshod on you guys, this is what we're going to do. And we're not even half the time going to be even follow the rules that we all claim to sit here and agree upon that we're going to follow by. So I don't think we should ever, you know, our side should ever forget that. I don't think black people should ever forget it, too, because like I was saying earlier before you jumped on, when I hear some of these Democrats talk about, well, we hope the Republicans will come to their senses or, you know, we can get some to come back or we need to get the Republicans who voted with Trump back out and see what the disillusion, fuck them. They're there because that's where they want to be. Some of them are down with the racists because they actually are racist. Some of them are down with burning down places and killing people because they actually are killers and arsonists. And you know what? We should put America back, make sure America's law and order, and those people over there that were terrorizing people, that were shooting people, that were running people over with cars and all that shit, you got to answer to the letter of the law, buddy. Just like you've been talking all this time, except it's going to be going around for everybody applied equally and not just to the people that you say it should be applied to. You know, the whole thing about the Democrats, that's how they always get over. They want to have this intimidating language when it comes to us, and we're the ones always turning the other cheek. And as a result, we end up with a Donald Trump type of character when we should have shut it down when George W. Bush stole the election, him and his boy. Right?
Well, that's,
him and his brother when they stole
thing.
It back then because they were laying down the groundwork, Karl Rove and them. If you remember,
exactly.
Everybody wants to forget, our history is very short, but that's really where Fox really started coming with their alternative or just like, you know, the GOP, we need the news told from our perspective. Really? It's the news. Why does it need to be told from your perspective? So,
and look,
you know,
how many
people
networks started since then. You know,
since
I mean,
then,
you
but
got
I'm saying,
own, you got, you know.
It's incumbent.
It's crazy.
We got to own. We got Newsmax and all that. I mean,
yeah.
It's incumbent upon people to know the history and to know how it started, because it started with some of these individuals who were like the, you know, the polite racists and the undercover racists, and they laid the groundwork for someone like a Donald Trump to get elected. You know, I mean, they allowed him to come out and disrespect one of their greatest heroes, John McCain, the war hero, and not only disrespect him personally, but disrespect his service and what he did in the war. So that tells me that, wow, you know, if they're willing to do that, now fast forward to this guy in Georgia talking about the president, you need to speak up because someone's going to get shot. They're really literally willing to kill people. Anybody that upsets their order, their way of life that they've, you know, promoted to the world. So, yeah, Democrats, yeah, we could, we've got 90 seconds left, man. We done talked the show talk to the end of the show. All right, so, Wayne, get the people your last final words that you want to have them to remember you by till the next time.
Hey, man, just keep hope alive, you know. I just left the bank, and I saw a white woman who's left her receipt behind, and I can't get a PPP loan, and she's sitting in a checking account with 10 grand. I had to stop
him,
you know.
All right, bruh. All right. Well, I'm sure you wanted everybody to know that. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you again. Take care. Wayne Gilman. Hey, Byron, give the people a little parting words.
All right. Here's the one for you. Go see whatever you do, Jingle Jangle. Make sure you've seen that Christmas Story. It is brilliant. It's beautiful. It's a black story. It's wonderful. Jingle Jangle, y'all.
All right, Brother Byron Saunders. We'll talk to you again, my brother.
All right.
This has been KSN and Friends. If you caught us tonight, you caught us with one of our live Wednesday night broadcasts. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm Citizen Payne, Eric Payne, KSN, legendary newsman Wayne Gilman, the legendary historian Byron Saunders. We're going to jump out. Here's Chuck D and them. We got to vote. If you're in Georgia, make sure you vote, all right? All right, peace. Next time.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse.